Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry here with Femi OK. And we've been reporting all this morning that the preliminary results, the first preliminary official results of Afghanistan's election next week are expected within the next 2 hours or so. Not likely to be final for either the incumbent Hamid Karzai or Abdullah, the challenger.
Right.
But it will give us some insight into what actually happened last week. There's, even given that, a lot of uncertainty going forward. And joining us to talk about all of this is Christine Fair, professor for the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. She joins us from Alexandria, Virginia, and is just back from Kabul and Afghanistan. Christine, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
It seems to me we have a winner already, and that is that the victor in this election, if I may be so cynical, is the Taliban, who managed to significantly suppress the vote tallying. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'm not sure it's the vote tallying they're suppressing. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that. There were a number of reports that Karzai actually cut a deal with different Taliban commanders whereby the Taliban would get their satisfaction of not actually having people turn up to the vote, i.e. not having folks with their fingers inked, in exchange for letting the ballot boxes return with ballots in them. So it's not...
Wow, Christine, that even makes Chicago look primitive.
Well, this election had a number of peculiar features. Obviously Karzai brought back two utterly, not sure what the word is, reviled militant commanders, obviously Fahim and Dostum. And a number of months ago, Karzai had actually pardoned five high-level heroin traffickers who were caught in military uniforms because at least one of them had ties to Karzai's reelection campaign. Numerous governors throughout the country had been in place starting as early as May 2008, as well as chiefs of police, all of whom were appointed to try and shape the electoral environment to Karzai's advantage. So I think it's too early to say that the Taliban won, because there are multiple winners and losers in this electoral exercise.
Very interesting. Christine Fair, hold on just there for a moment. We're joined now by Martin Patience of our partner, the BBC, in Kabul, Afghanistan. Martin, are the people on the streets of Afghanistan anticipating the preliminary election results, or is there more of a sense of cynicism about whatever the result, it will have been manipulated?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. Certainly people want to know what the result of this election is. Now, these are just the initial results. We're expecting perhaps 10 to 15% of the vote to be announced. What it will do is it will give us a snapshot. And I think there's two aspects that people want to know. One is voter turnout across the country. What was it? We still don't have any clear figures on that. And second of all, I think people want to get some sort of sense as to who's won the election. Now, there's been a lot of claims from the Karzai camp, as well as his biggest rival, Dr. Abdullah, that they've both won the election. So I think what people want is a clear sense of perhaps how this election is going to be won. But well, it's going to be very difficult. That's the reality. It's
here's
only
the
10 to 15%.
Martin, here's the voice from over the weekend of presidential candidate Abdullah, accusing really the entire process of being riddled with fraud.
My focus today is on the big fraud, yes? Big fraud which can have an impact on the outcome of the election. This has to be prevented. That is critical for the survival of the process. That's critical as far as the hope of the people of Afghanistan for a better life in the future is concerned.
So, Martin, on the ground, are you seeing people, you know, looking at this in the way that the Iranian election a couple of months ago went, where the election happened, the results were announced, and then really there was an unfolding of a sense of cynicism that the whole process had been manipulated?
Well, it's very difficult. We're only a few days after the election, and the final result isn't going to be known for a few weeks yet. And one of the main reasons that we're not going to know a final result is because all of these allegations of fraud need to be investigated. The process needs to be credible. And while it's worth pointing out that Dr. Abdullah has accused President Karzai of committing corruption, there's been the counter accusation as well. There is a sense that certainly most of the leading candidates have indulged in some sort of fraud. But the big question here is will that change the actual result? If nobody's talking about a free and fair election, what they're talking about is a credible outcome. So if the next leader of this country, if he's won the majority of votes and those votes seem to be won fairly, then I think there will be an acceptance about that. What people on the streets don't want to see is a result which has quite clearly been manipulated by fraud, which has quite clearly been won in fraud. And I certainly think people are very concerned that if that is the scenario, then there could well be protests.
All right, Martin, thank you for that. Christine Fair, a professor for the Center of Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University, you observed the elections. Martin seems to be describing a kind of market force version of corruption where everybody's manipulation of the election kind of balances out and that produces some sort of credible result here. You observed the elections. What do you think?
Well, I think that the general observation is absolutely correct, that everyone faces pretty significant allegations of fraud. The difference, of course, is that Karzai, as the incumbent, was in a markedly different position to have the most influence in terms of shaping the electoral environment, as I said, through the appointment of provincial and district governors, chiefs of police. There was also a concerted effort out of the central government ran by his brother-in-law to stand up about 13,000 militia members. Again, this was widely perceived as being a means of vote capture for Karzai. So it is absolutely true that everyone stands accused of pretty significant allegations of wrongdoing. But in terms of the ability to influence that, I would say that both the Taliban and Karzai probably had greater opportunities to do that. The Taliban, through threats of violence and through destabilizing large parts of the South where they have consolidated power, and even in the North, I was actually in Kunduz briefly, where things are really quite hairy. So even in places that a few years ago were considered to be safe, the Taliban had strongholds and were very effective in suppressing the vote through violence and through threat of violence.
All right. Christine Fair, professor of the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University, just back from Kabul, speaking to us from Alexandria, Virginia. And Martin Patience, our partner at the BBC, speaking to us from the BBC studios in Kabul, Afghanistan. The takeaway there is the threshold for declaring this credible different for the Obama administration than it is for the people of Afghanistan. That's really what we're going to have to wait and see.